Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Okay. All right. Well, I tell you what. I'm going to share. I like what Sister Martha was saying about the transparency that's in that class, but also I want to be just a little bit transparency with you about my life, okay? How many know God can give you something and you can just keep building, keep building, keep building, keep building. God spoke to me about 2 months ago, and it's Psalms 13. Okay, if you want to just go there, that's where I'm a minister from. I shared some of this on Wednesday night a couple of weeks ago. But God has been building, my life has been built around this scripture, and I don't know the full details, okay? And I want to confess to you that I have not arrived yet. But I am pressing forward to the call that God has called me, not just to preach, but to call me to be Christ-like. So don't think, well, you know, Pastor John has got this thing down packed. I do not. Every time I think I got it down packed, guess what? I realize I don't. So it's a journey. It's a journey that we're all on, and it's a Christian journey, but along the way of a journey, I mean, you know, you face many obstacles. And I'm learning that the obstacles is not to take me out, but it's to transform me even more into Christ's likeness. Many of the times we want to change the situation, but God is not so much concerned about changing the situation as he is about changing us. See, the situation will be different when we begin to look at it different. But until we begin to look at it differently, we will always think that the situation is the worst thing that could ever happen to me. But in reality, it's the best thing that can happen to you. So I'm learning as I journey with Christ. Remember in Matthew, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and you will find rest unto your soul. You know, and I know that yoking is like a garment being wrapped around you, but also we're being yoked with him. And I mean to know that when we're being yoked with him, I mean to know he's leading the way, but we're there with him. Yeah. So he's not called us to a journey and left us on our own. He's along with us. Why? Because how many of us, well, no, I ain't going to bring that up. But anyway, I told my wife about that before, and here I am doing it. Oh, Jesus. But anyway, I'll go ahead and say it because I don't want you to hold you in defense out there wondering, what was he going to say? What did he do? I don't know. No. And I'm not saying this to be super spiritual, it's not a debate. I did go see the movie of The Shack, but how many remember the part that said it works better with me when he was walking on the water and he came alone? It works better with him, okay? I'm telling you, the journey is so much better with him, okay? And I've been, this scripture, the Holy Spirit just illuminated this scripture to me, and I just want to share with you what the Holy Spirit has given me out of this scripture, if it's okay. Okay? Now, you might not feel the thunder, you might not feel the earthquake, you might not feel the wind, but listen to the still small voice. And this is a psalm of David. And he starts this psalm out. It's saying, how long, O Lord? Now we could say, how long, Lord? What's up with this, Jesus? But I believe David cried out of the depths of his gut and he said, how long, Lord? How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? Now, I want to share something with you. I was at a doctor's appointment a couple of months ago. My appointment was 8:15. Say 8:15. I got there at 8 o'clock, so I'm saying, you know, if it's at 8:15, I get there and put my name on the list and get there, you know, I get on out of there. I looked at my phone. It was 8:30. Okay, give it 15 minutes. I looked at it again, and it was 8:45. Yeah. Now, how long is they going to keep me waiting? I looked at it again, and it was 9 o'clock. Now, I'm beginning to think. What's going on here? My juices begin to flow a little bit, if you know what I mean. So I go in. Ma'am, have y'all forgot about me? My name is John Mitchell. I'm here to see the doctor. Oh, Mr. Mitchell. Oh, yeah, you coming up next. We're getting ready to call you. If you'll just have a seat, we'll get back with you. Just hold on. I'm sorry for you being here. You know, I'll be right with you. Looked at my phone again, 9:15. How long, doc, you gonna take? I'm feeling what David is feeling here, but David was concerned was, how long, oh Lord? But my concern was, how long, doc, am I gonna have to wait here? 9:30 come. No doctor called me in. Then it was 15 minutes to 10. Now I'm mad. I said I'm going to be transparent, right? I'm mad now. So I go back up and I say, ma'am, look, I've been here almost 2 hours. She said, really? Did we just talk a while ago? Now notice, I said I'm getting mad here now. How many know the Bible said we can be angry, but sin not? So I ain't said nothing yet, but I am mad. I'm containing it within myself. I am mad. And I said, ma'am, my appointment was 8:15. It is something, it's about 10 minutes to 10. She said, well, we don't know what happened. Are you supposed to be here today? And I said, excuse me? And I'm reading this song. And I'm about like David. How long? Oh, Lord. Man, it ain't the doctor, it's the Lord. And the doctor came in, they called, you know, the nurse, they called you back. And she said, how are you doing today, Mr. Mitchell? She was all bubbly, and I said, I'm not doing too good. She said, what's wrong? Are you hurting? I said, no, I'm upset. She said, well, what's wrong? I said, ma'am, I've been waiting ever since 8:15. And I said, look what time it is. She said, are you serious? I told my wife I was so, woo! And then they had the nerve to check my blood. And my blood pressure was 165 over 100 and something. And the doctor comes in there and he says, Mr. Mitchell, I need to send you to the emergency room. I said, no, doc, you don't have to send me to the emergency room. I'll tell you why my blood pressure is high. I'm upset because I've been waiting almost 2 hours. He said, are you serious? And I'm thinking, what is going on here? God, what are you trying to teach me here? I don't start now. I'm thinking, okay, it's the devil. Go start buying it. You know, I'm thinking all kind of things. But I can understand now David's longing. When you've been waiting for so long, and he's saying to God, how long will you forget me? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? This is four how longs David is crying out to God. And he's saying here, how long will you hide your face from me? Other words, how many know to hide the face means that the favor is not on you. The blessing is not coming. Can you imagine somebody turn their back on you that you have confidence in, they're going to bless you, but instead of blessing you, they're turned. So what is going on here when David says, how long will you hide your face from me? In other words, your countenance, your presence is not being manifested here, God. How long will this take place? Then he goes on to verse 2. How long should I take counsel in my soul? And you know what was going on in the doctor's office? My soul, my emotions begin to dictate to me, this ain't right. And you need to be angry. You need to say something. You need to get aggressive. But you know what I did? I realized there's no need to be upset, John, getting your blood pressure all up. Getting bent out of shape. No, it's not right that I was supposed to see the doctor at 8:15 and had to wait almost 2 hours. No, it wasn't right. But I let the doctor know, look, this ain't right. And we talked about it, but we talked about it calm. It's all right to express, but don't react. Respond. Other words, I began to tell him, look, I've been out here all this time, and I've seen people come in and go out that wasn't here when I got here. Now, this is a conversation between me and the doc. And he said, well, John, I am so sorry. I said, I am too, you know, because it really doesn't make sense when you give me an appointment at 8:15 and I'm having to wait till almost 10 o'clock. And he said, I agree with you. He said, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I said, what you going to do? Amen. He said, no charge today. Amen. No charge. He walked with me out the door. He said, don't charge him a penny. Now that makes me happy. The blood pressure, now I can feel it. You say, man, what has this got to do with anything? There are going to be times that it's going to feel like God is nowhere to be found. Like I was thinking, where is this doctor at? Now, that's a natural illustration. But David was crying out to God, and he said, look, are you going to forget me forever? Are you going to hide your face from me? I mean, you know, there are times in our journey that God feels like he's nowhere to be found. Notice what I said. He feels like it. Now, as you and I are new covenant people, we have a promise that he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is old covenant, which David is an old covenant. He's speaking out of his emotions and his feelings. But how many know he was experiencing God not being there, or the presence of God not covering him or engulfing him at this time? He felt isolated and abandoned by the God that he once talked about, that he's the shepherd of my soul. Okay? Now, let's look at this, okay? Listen to what he says in verse 2. He says, how long should I take counsel in my soul? So what is David saying here? How long should I take counsel in my soul? In other words, how long should my emotions and my feelings give me advice? The Bible says, blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. So the counsel that David was receiving was the counsel that his emotions was dictating to him. And his emotions made him feel, where is this God at? Where is the God of my salvation? Where is the God that I can play and sense the presence? Where is the God that when I begin to praise, he begin to show up? Where is the God that inhabit the praises of Israel? And David said, how long shall I take counsel in my soul? The soul consists of mind, will, and emotions. And what we have to understand, how many know that we have to train our senses unto righteousness? See, you cannot trust your feelings. Your feelings are deceitful. They'll have you thinking that somebody looking at you and they ain't even thinking nothing about you. They'll have you thinking, your feelings will have you thinking, nobody cares about me. Your feelings will have you thinking, don't nobody appreciate me. How many know we know who's influencing these thoughts, but how many know we're feeling the effects of it in our emotions? And the Bible said the just shall live by faith. See, we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. And I can't trust my feelings to dictate to me whether God is with me or not. If I do that, my feelings could tell me that God is against me. But how many know I know the truth of God's word? And his word said, John, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's new covenant. But here we are. David is crying out. A good example that we can learn from is that we don't let our soul dictate to us whether God is with us or not. We have the Spirit of God on the inside of us that confirms he's with us. And his word is backing what he has said. But here we are here in David, and he's saying here, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, my emotions? Do you realize that there was a struggle going on with David's thoughts, his thinking? But notice what he says here. Having sorrow in my heart daily. Do you not know the sorrow came about because of what his soul was dictating to him? His emotions were leading him. His emotion was giving him advice. But David began to be sorrow in his heart all the day long. Why? Because of his emotions. But you read another psalm of David as you go on through the Psalms, and he began to talk to his soul. He says, soul, why are you cast down? Hope thou in God. In other words, that gives us leeway that if this was old covenant and he could speak to his soul and tell his soul, why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. If David could do that in the old covenant, how much more can we do it under the new covenant? Why? Because we're not led by emotions. We are led by the Spirit of God. The Bible says that if you are led by the Spirit of God, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the Spirit wars against the flesh, and the Spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh against the Spirit. These two are contrary to each other. But the more we learn as we journey with God to yield to Holy Spirit and not what we feel, how many know we're going to come out victorious every time? Why? Because the Spirit always lead into what? Victory. Now watch this. Notice what he says here. Then, verse 3, he says, consider. Now pay attention, Lord, and hear me. O Lord, my God, enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Notice David, he's beginning to change a little bit here. Now, we can look at this and say, well, you know, he was about to die. But I think, if I can just think, that it wasn't asleep unto death. See, the Bible says, there is a way that seemed right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death or destruction. But what David is saying here is, Lord, enlighten my eyes. Consider me. Hear me, O Lord God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. So what is David saying here? God, if you don't give me revelation of who you are, if you don't let me see through the eyes of the Spirit who you are, I will sleep the sleep of death. You say, wait a minute, preacher. What do you mean by that? Because sleep means that I'm not what? Conscious of what's going on around me. When you go to sleep, how many know you don't know what's really going on? Hello? Now, when you're sleeping good, now, if you just have coughs, yeah, I hear, you know, you're about like me. I'm a light sleeper, so just any kind of noise will just wake me up, okay? You know, God didn't. No, some people are light sleepers. Some just when they go to sleep, they out. You can crank up the chainsaw. You can do all kind of stuff. They out. But then there are some people that sleep light. But do you know, even though when you sleep light, you're not aware of what's going on. You're not conscious of what's really happening. Why? Because you're in a state of sleep. Now, you can have dreams, vision, and all that in your sleep, but how many know what David is saying here? Lord, if you don't enlighten my eyes to see, I will sleep a sleep of death. Watch this. The only thing that will dispel death is what? Resurrection. Quickening. The Spirit will quicken. In Ephesians 2, it says, and you has he quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins. Watch this. Remember when Lazarus died? But Jesus said he's what? He's asleep. He's taking a nap. But now I need to go and wake him up. And they said, now, Lord, we know he'll raise, at the resurrection. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection. So the only thing that would dispel this sleep, this spiritual slumber that we're in, is what? That our eyes be opened by the Spirit of God. That we're conscious of what God has said about us and what God has freely given us and where God has taken us and where the journey is leading us. When we have been quickened by the Spirit of God, revelation begin to come and it opens our eyes to who we are and we begin to see this glorious inheritance of the kingdom of God that's operating on the inside of us. Why? Because you can't obtain it through the natural. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Now, how many know that's where we stop and pat, that's where we stop and we camp out, right? But let's go a little further. He said, but. That but is a conjunction that there's more to come to say about what I'm talking about here. And what he's saying is, but the Spirit of God will reveal them to us. No, that's when we go to heaven. No, that's why we're here on earth. The Spirit is revealing to us who he is, who we are, what he has done, what we can do through him. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But we think, well, you know, that's a little bit radical for me. Did you not know Jesus was radical? That was a culture that was all against what he was doing. But you know what Jesus kept doing? He kept right on healing the sick. Kept right on raising the dead. Kept right on opening the blinded eyes. Kept right on, amen, healing the sick. Kept right on preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom. They said, this man is crazy. But guess what? He just kept right on preaching and teaching the word of God. Why? Because how many know that Jesus was laying the foundation for the church the way we should be operating? Amen? Now, look at this. No, I got to go. My time is eating me up. That's all right. Enlighten my eyes. Notice what Paul prayed in Ephesians. He said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you will know the hope of your calling and the inheritance in the saints. See, it is the Spirit of God that's the agent in the earth that's doing the work now. Amen? We're not trying to work ourselves to death to obtain it, but we need to put ourselves in a position where the Spirit of God will begin to what? Enlighten our eyes. I like the message Pastor Terry preached a couple of months ago, you know, and I don't know if you guys remember it or not, but I remember it, okay? So I get an A+ because I remember that, right? Thank you, okay. He said, we need to change what? Our lenses. Our lenses. Everybody, y'all remember that? Say, oh yeah, he did say that. Because we begin to perceive things as we operate in the kingdom, we perceive things different. We know we're not fighting from a position of defeat. We're fighting from a position of victory. We know the Lord is with us. We're not never alone. We might feel it in our flesh, but guess what? That's why I'm trying to tell you this morning, we got to get out of the touchy-feely. I don't feel like going today. I don't feel like praising him today. I don't feel like praying today, Lord. But how many know it's not on your feelings? It's your call. Look at your name and say, I've been called to pray. I've been called to read the word. You say, no, he ain't called me to pray. Didn't he say that my house should be called? Well, whose house is this? Huh? Is this not the temple of God? Is this not the house? So this house has been called to what? Pray. Amen? Paul said, do what? Study to show thyself approval unto God that people will glorify you. No. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God that a workman need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. So what Paul is saying, study so you will know who you are. Do you not know that we study a lot of things, but sometimes we don't want to study the word? But we pray and we ask God, just like what John was doing. I was praying, God, give me an understanding. God, give me some revelation. God, give me understanding of your word. But you know what? I wasn't even reading the word. Hello. How can he, and the Spirit of God said, how can I reveal to you what you don't read? Let me go over here. Y'all looking at me too hard. How can he reveal something to you if you don't never want to read the word? Do you not know that about 75% of our trials and tribulation, the word has already told us how to deal with it? I say 75%. It might be higher than that. That's just me. I could be wrong, okay? But if we would study the word of God and give time to it. Give time to prayer. Our eyes will begin to be opened and we will be enlightened about what God is saying to where that when things begin to come, we are not so shaken by what's going on in this world. But when you don't know, you're seeking and you're trying to find out. Ask, what can we do? What shall we do? What can I do? What you can do is take time and get in the word of God and let God begin to give you, reveal himself to you. Why? Because Paul prayed that he would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of knowing him. Amen. And do you realize that the church is not built on mortar bricks and stone, but the church is built on the revelation of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of him. Yes. See, you say, well, how do you come across that? When Jesus asked Peter, he said, who do men say that I am? Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're a prophet. But who do you say I am? Peter stood up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at him and he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. What was he saying? The revelation. Hallelujah. The revelation that I just gave you, I'm going to build my church. Now, people are fussing and saying, oh, it's St. Peter. No, honey, it ain't Peter. It's the word that Peter received. Because if we build on Peter, we all in seeking sand. How many know Peter would flip on you and pull out the sword if you don't agree with him and say, yeah, go ahead, uh-huh. And guess what? He wasn't aiming for the ear. He was wanting the neck, but the guy, whoop, we got the ear. Oh, Jesus. Oh, glory. Do you understand? David is saying, enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Watch this. I got to get ready to pull it in. Look at Matthew's. Matthew 13 and verse 24. Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men were... Oh, y'all still getting it? All right, I'll let you find it. Huh? Come on, talk to me. Are you reading? What did it say? Why men rejoiced. Why men what? Slept. Look at your neighbor and say, wake up. Don't sleep too long. Don't sleep too long, because if you sleep too long, watch this. The kingdom of heaven is compared to a man who sowed good seed. Notice he said good seed in his field. And you'll find out the good seeds were sown by who? The Son of Man. And the seeds that were sown were scattered throughout the field, which is the world. How many of you know that you and I have been cast all over the earth? He's got kingdom men and women all over the world. That's why he said, you are the salt of the earth. You are a light, a city that cannot be hid, a city that's set on the hill. Now watch this. So good seeds in his field, but while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, the tares became what? Evident. Also, then the slave of the landowner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seeds in your field? How then does it have tares? Now, this is not a test for everybody. But for ICIT students, what is the difference from the wheat and the tare?
I should remember from last year, the wheat will bend to God's word.
Okay.
The tare will not.
You did good. You get an A+, brother. You moving on. That's the difference. Why? They look the same, but the wheat will bow. And Francis said that that is a type of what? Humbling yourself to the word of God. And how many know God, this is talking about, this. Some people think, well, this is just end time stuff. No, this is now stuff. Because the good seeds are those that have been sown by Jesus Christ. But the enemy who is trying to do what? Cause terrorists to grow up around us. How many know we're in a fallen world here? This world is not perfect. It is corrupt. But do you not know that we're the only light bearers that's in this world? Why? Because we have the light of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And how many know darkness cannot expel this light? Why? Because it's an eternal light. It is a spiritual light that cannot be put out. It is a candle that is lit that will burn as long as we keep doing what? Fueling that oil of the anointing of God and letting God keep filling us with his spirit. To where we begin to burn and brighter and brighter, where we become so consumed with the Spirit of God, to where we're so passionate about the things of God, to where, like the song said, the things of this world becomes dim to us. And the reason it's coming dim, because we see something greater. And we know that regardless of what we go through, greater is he in us than he that's out here in this world. And I don't care what the enemy try to sow, guess what? The wheat will always bow. And when we bow, how many know he said he gives grace to the humble? The ability, the divine influence of God that he gives us to crave him even more. It is God's grace that's causing me to want more of him. It is God that's working in me that's saying, John, I'm going to put this thirst in you, not just for me, but for every one of us. You say, well, why can't I have that thirst? I guarantee you every one of us that are born again have that thirst. We just don't take advantage of it. We push it and say, well, I read later. I learned years ago when God started revealing something to you, get your pen and paper out and take time to hear and write. Because what the enemy want to do, he don't want you to understand it. And when we don't understand it, he'll snatch it away from us. But he said that it's been given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Amen? Okay. I'm preaching like I've been let out of fire. So I'm trying to put out a fire somewhere. Woo! Amen. Listen. It all started when God started showing me this. And he said, look, David wanted his eyes to be enlightened. See, he would have kept right on if his eyes had not been enlightened. He would have kept on saying, how long, God? How long, God? Do you not know that it's been proven? Say, this has been proven. You can be in the lowest of lows. And you can start praying to God. Praising God. And things will start happening. You say, how do you know this? There was a man by the name of Paul. And he was beaten, thrown in prison. And guess who was thrown in there with him? Was it Silas? And he said, oh, Silas, I tell you what we're going to do. They don't put us in this jail, this dungeon. But I know the word of God is not bound. It's not bound, Saul. So we're going to start praying. And we're going to start praising God. And when they start doing this, that was an earthquake. I don't think it was geographic. I don't think it was that. It was the Spirit of God began to travail, and the earth began to respond, and it just started shaking. Remember when Jesus was on the cross? Amen. How many know? The earth just began to shake. It wasn't just by accident that what was happening. It was heaven speaking to earth. And when God starts speaking to earth, the earth begins to shake and begin to quake. Why? Because it's saying that's the creator. That's our creator, boys. Woo! And then they just start shaking, and Paul and Silas begin to praise God and pray unto God, and they had a jailbreak. Oh, I need to get back on. Getting ready to break for it, brother. Do you see the difference when your eyes are open? Have you ever, and I'm closing on this, have you ever been, you came up in a situation and people were all up in the air and you wasn't aware of what was going on. And all of a sudden you said, can you shine some light on what's going on? You know what you was really saying? Reveal to me what's taking place here. And they said, they giving out millions of dollars. Whoa, glory. Lord Jesus, I knowed you was on the main line. Why? It brings what? It was revealed to you that millions of dollars was being what? And you didn't mind what? Waiting. Waiting. I'm waiting on my train. Ha. Oh, yeah. My change is coming. Yeah. I'm waiting. Why? It's been revealed to you that there is something good being released. And you say, I want some of it. I want it. And that's all God is saying. I want to reveal to you, don't sleep on me. I'm telling you, I can show you in the Word of God, Jonah, when he was fleeing from the presence of God, what did he do? Go on a boat, go in the bottom, and do what? Take him a nap. You look at the disciples, Jesus praying, what they doing? Taking a nap. But now Jesus is saying, wake up, thou old sleeper. Wake up. Amen? Okay. Did you get anything out of that? Amen. Give God the praise. Amen. It ain't about me, that's for sure. It ain't, I'm only the messenger. But we can be excited about our God because he's more than enough. That he could set every one of us. I mean, God, whew, he's so awesome. But don't sleep on your blessing. Don't sleep on your revelation. Amen? You take the initiative and study the Word of God and watch what God does. He'll start revealing himself. I'm telling you, I remember a time when I started feeding on the Word of God. It's been years ago. And that Bible seemed like it just started talking to me. And God started revealing to me. And do you not know I am where I am today because of the hunger of studying the Word of God. Late in the midnight hour, studying the Word of God. God, I want to know what you're saying here, God. I want to know, Lord. And God honored the cry. And he'll do the same for you as he did for me. God is no respecter person. God want to reveal himself to you so that you will know he ain't mad at you. He's not against you. He's not even withholding it from you. He's got it for you. All he's doing is wanting you to keep coming to his hand and say, there it is. And you get the, Why? Because when God reveals to us who he is, what he has done, we are changed people. And how many know he stamped something on the inside of us that the devil himself cannot snatch it out of his hand. Amen? Now, let me ask you a question. If you don't know this Jesus today, today is a good time for you to meet him. Do you not know he's waiting to say, I've been waiting on you a long time, daughter. Been waiting on you a long time, son. I want you to meet him. If you don't know him today, we can lead you to him. Because he's right there where you're at, but we need to lead you to him. And if you don't know Jesus today, you can come up and we can pray with you and put you on this journey that we're talking about this morning. It ain't gonna just happen. But he said, come on to me and confess those sins that I paid the penalty for. I did it so that you could be free. Now, there's a lot more in this, but I didn't get to a lot, but I got where God wants us to be at, okay? Now, the next question is this. If you don't know him, raise your hand and we'll pray and we'll introduce you to this Jesus. Okay, there's any hands raised? I don't want to miss anybody. I'm not going to beg you because you know what? The Spirit of God have to draw you anyway. Amen? Now, if you indecisive and you feel that little fear, shake it and get up and come on. Okay? All right. Good enough. Now, how many of you out there, you're born again, filled with God's Spirit, love God, but you're kindly snoring, sneaks, taking little naps? Yes, Lord. You've been taking little naps. And the Holy Spirit is saying, come on, I want fellowship. Okay. Yes, Lord, I'm coming. How many of you, how many out there? Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. It's nothing to be ashamed of. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm telling you, this is real. And God wants you to have fellowship with him. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to share just a little of my testimony. You have to take the initiative. God is going to deal with your heart to do it. But you got to yield to that dealing. Don't go saying, well, I ain't got time right now. You make time. You prioritize. And you say, God, this is a time that you and I are going to be together. And don't renege, because God will honor when you make that decision. And I'm telling you, it's not a religious thing that I'm trying to quote you into. It's not a realist. It's not a legalism, but it's out of relationship. And when you go to God, begin to prioritize. You know your time and your schedule. There's never going to be a perfect time to do it. You got to make the decision and do it. You got to do just like Nike. You got to do what? Just do it. Okay? You say, but I don't know if I can do that. Quit telling yourself you can't. God is going to grace you. He's going to grace you to do it. Why? Because he died so that you would have the right to have a relationship with him. And I'm telling you, whatever you're facing, just because you seek God, don't exempt you from going through things, but it's going to help you how to navigate through this journey. Amen? Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. God, you see everyone that's standing, Lord. And God, your heart's desire is that we draw near to you. You said, if you would draw near to me, I would draw near to you. And God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, that your grace, that enablement, that divine power, God, that dunamis power that you have invested in these people, Lord God, your children, Lord, we pray over them right now, Lord. God, that you will bring them to a closer walk with you, Father. God, where it's been stagnated, where it's been shrink back, Lord, I pray today, God, that you release something new in them that will pull them to your presence. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen. Amen. God bless you. Now get ready. Make that decision. Prioritize. You take the initiative and say, this is my time that I'm setting aside for God. Give up a TV show here and there. Now, Melon, let me quit. No, I'm telling you the truth. We live in a society that's trying, it's trying to squeeze us into that mold. Keep us so busy to where we don't have time for God. But let me tell you, there's always got to be time for God. Some other things need to be let go, but not God. And you got to be determined, because the enemy is trying to. That's why Paul said, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be squeezed into the mold. And that's what the enemy is wanting to do. He want to keep squeezing, keep telling you, look what you're missing. Look what you're missing out on. Honey, let me tell you something. You're giving up something for something better. You're giving up something good for something way better. And that's where, John, you got to start looking at it that way. Because my mind, when I was reading this and God was showing me these things, I was in a position, Sister Martha, to where I was like, well, I know that, you know, but it wasn't fresh. It wasn't fresh. And how many know God don't want us to keep going to go back to stale bread? How many know he's the bread of life? He want to give us that living bread. And that living bread is his word. He said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have no life in you. We got to eat the word and drink of his spirit. And let there be a continual flow. As Miss Brenda was sharing this morning, that water represents the spirit of God that's flowing. Keep pushing out what's not like God. Bring into our attention, you need to work on this area. See, that's where the spirit of God is at work in us. He's showing to us the light will always expose darkness. And God is giving you light so that you can expose the dark lies of the enemy. Amen. Father, we thank you today, Lord. And God, we thank you for what's took place today. We give you the glory. We give you the praise, Father. And Lord, we thank you for our time together, Lord. And God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. God, as we depart from this place, never your presence, Lord. Watch over us and protect us, Lord. You are a good God. And you said, if I be for you, who can be against you? So, Lord, we thank you that you confirm yourself to these people, Lord. You said you would manifest yourself to us, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a blessed week.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.